Go ahead and turn your Bibles this morning, if you would, to the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. The book of Ephesians chapter number 6. We have been camped out here for quite some time. And I told you folks that this morning was probably going to be the last day for the book of Ephesians. And I hate to disappoint. It's not going to happen. The way I'm looking at it, I got about two more weeks left of this. I really don't want to rush through the armor that we are going to be discussing this morning. We're going to deal with three of them, and I hope that they will be a tremendous blessing to you and a help to you as well. This morning's message or lesson, however you want to look at it, I have titled it simply this, God's Armor. And we're going to deal with those as we continue to go on. We're going to pick this up in verse number, let's pick it up back in verse number 12. We dealt with this last week. And we'll go ahead and read down through verse number 17. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." I'm going to stop right here just briefly. As we approach the battle that Paul is talking about here, first of all, we got to make mention, the first few chapters of the book of Ephesians is calling the church to unity. And the reason why we're being called to unity is because of a spiritual battle that we're all going to face. And we have faced spiritual battles this week. I know I have, and I'm pretty sure that you have. And so it's important for a army, if I can use that word, to be unified for this reason, so that we can be a help to one another as we go through those battles. And it's never fun to take something on by yourself. It's always good to have a prayer warrior with you. Now, we can't help each other in many areas, but there's one thing that we can do when we're unified with one another is to be able to, as the Word of God says, to take your burden and not take it on physically and place it upon our backs and you no longer have that burden. That's not what that's saying. Taking that burden is taking it to the Lord God in prayer. And that's something that you and I can do on a daily basis. Our eyesight might go from us, our hearing might go from us, even our very speech might go for us. But even with that being said, God knows our thoughts, amen? And so we can continually take brothers and sisters in Christ as they face their spiritual battles and begin to pray for them as they go forth. And so one of the things, one of the requirements that we learned last week is, one, that we are to be strong in the Lord. Our strength doesn't come within ourselves because we have learned that our physical strength goes away from us. And so Paul is really hitting this for us to understand, if we're going to take on the spiritual battle, by the way, who is our enemy? It's Satan. We got to remain strong in the Lord. And we don't get our strength from within ourselves. Our strength will come from the Word of God. You'll see a lot of wounded Christians along the way. And they're wounded for this reason. They've lacked strength. And it's for this. Because for some reason, some believers decide, you know what, I don't need to have strength in the Lord. So therefore, I'm going to close His Word. And by closing His Word, you're saying, God, I'm going to be dependent upon my strength. Your strength is no longer needed in my life. And so because of that, you will see a lot of wounded, tired, worn out believers. But where does our strength come from? It comes from the Lord, amen? So hopefully this will help us understand this a little bit better. And then, as I stopped here in this verse, at the end of verse number 13, we are not commanded to go forth and take on our enemy, are we? The Bible says all we're supposed to do as believers is stand. And some of us don't even know how to stand. But that's what God wants us to do. That's what Paul is telling us to do as we become unified believers, as we go forth in a spiritual battle. And the reason why Paul is stating here to stand is because we have someone who is far more capable of taking care of our enemy that we can't see. And who is that? That's Satan. God has the ability to take him on. And by the way, let me remind you of this. If you're struggling with a spiritual battle and Satan's just trying to tear you up, temptation after temptation is coming in your life and you don't know how to get out of the situation, let me give you a piece of advice. Remind Satan that he's already been defeated. Amen? You already have victory over Satan because you are a child of God. And so you need to remind, here's what I like to do sometimes. I've done this on a few occasions, and I will shout out at times wherever I'm at, Satan, you're already defeated, flee from me. Simple as that. And it's amazing when that takes place, I'm no longer struggling with a spiritual battle. But let's continue to read on here. I'm going to be honest with you folks, these last few moments had nothing to do with what was in my notes. The Lord just speaking to me as I'm going along here, and I appreciate that so much. It says, verse number 14, again, says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Those are the first three that we're going to deal with this morning. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. By now, we all should realize that we are in a spiritual battle. If you haven't realized that, then you've been sleeping through a lot of these lessons these last few weeks. And the enemy, as we just referred to a little while ago, the enemy is Satan. And Satan's attack in your life and in my life are very real. They're very real. And here's the interesting thing about Satan. He's relentless. He keeps attacking us. And the reason why he keeps attacking us is for this reason. Charlie, he does not want us to live for Jesus Christ. He wants to ruin our testimony. He wants us to walk away from our faith. And he wants us to close the chapter on the Word of God and be away with him. And so Satan is constantly pursuing us. He's constantly attacking us. And by now, we should probably all have learned judo or taekwondo. Get away from me, Satan. I did that to see if you folks are awake. And apparently, you're not. You don't know what I just pulled my hamstring doing that. I'm just kidding. So he keeps attacking. And why does he keep attacking? He keeps attacking for this reason. His time is short. Why is his time short? Because the Lord's return is soon. And here's the unfortunate thing about that statement I just made. We are not living our life as if the Lord's return is soon. Matter of fact, we're living our life of this, if his return is far away, well, I will never see the return of the Lord because I'm going to pass. Well, that may be true in some people's lives. By the way, I had a great thought again this week. Believers don't die. We don't die. We just pass. We close our eyes 1 second, and boom, we're in the presence of the Lord. And we're just passing from this world that we're not made for. We're going in directly into his kingdom. And so he's aggressive because his time is short. The thing that sticks out the most to me is that we are required to do two things. And I just mentioned them. And God only asks us for this. He doesn't ask for a lot of things in our lives. Have you noticed that? But he asked for this. He asked for this, and it is to put on his armor. We're not putting on our armor. God has asked us to put on his armor. And then the second thing, as I just mentioned, he asked us to just stand. Just stand. Because I am going to take on the fiery darts for you. I'm going to take on the negative words that are going to come your way. I'm going to take on the persecution that might come your way. I am your commander-in-chief, and I'm going to be out front. I'm going to take everything that's going to come your direction for this reason, because you're my child, and I'm here to protect you. Folks, I don't know about you, but that's encouraging. That just makes me want to have a screaming fit. The Lord our God, who created us into existence, is standing in front of the battle for us so that we don't have to have any battle wounds. And all I got to say about that is this. Woo! That's exciting to me. Oh, man, I hope you get excited here in a little bit. However, as we continue to read God's word, there are a few more things that we are to do. He wants us to put on his armor, and then he wants us to stand. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 4. Book of James, chapter 4, we are given a few more instructions as we begin to prepare ourselves for battle. Verse number 7 says this. We all know this verse, but it says, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." I'm going to stop right there. The reason why we have to submit ourselves, or the reason why we should submit ourselves for this reason, because, as I mentioned a second ago, God is our commander. Amen? And so whenever we have somebody who is in authority over us, our job is to submit. And as we're submitting, we're saying, I am surrendering to your will. I am committed to your direction and how you're going to lead us. I am going to put myself under you, and I'm going to trust, as I'm submitting to you, that you have the best interest for me. That's what submission is. He is giving us the direction to go. That's what a commander does. The battle plan has been laid out, and the requirement as we begin to put on his armor is we are to submit to him. By the way, we submit ourselves to a lot of things, do we not? What do we submit ourselves to? Well, let me throw some things out. We submit ourselves to television. That might cut a chord with a lot of folks. I've heard the old saying, Chad, I don't really have time to read the Bible. Maybe because we're submitting ourselves to the things of this world instead of submitting ourselves to God. Hollywood doesn't have your best interest, folks. They can care less about you. I don't know if you noticed that, but they can care less about you. The only thing they care that you do is get out of your house and on occasions go to the theater and support their movies while they make millions. And as they're making millions, they get on their political soapbox and tell you what you should do and what you shouldn't do. Something's wrong with that picture. So submitting ourselves to God, it's easier said than done, because we naturally feel, I'm being honest with myself here, we naturally feel that we know more than God does. We do. We say, no, God, I don't think you really know what's going on in this situation. Hello? Does not God see everything? Does not God know everything? Because if God doesn't see everything, if God doesn't know everything, and if God is not all-powerful, then everything we read in the Bible is a lie. Which, by the way, everything that we read in God's Word is the truth. And I'm thankful for that. So we feel, it's easier said than done, because at times we feel like we know more than what God does. We think that we can come up with a better plan. No, God, I've seen what you've done with the Israelites. I've seen how the Philistines have taken them over on a certain occasion. So, God, I've seen how you work. And so, therefore, I'm not going to submit to you, because I got a better plan. I can get us out of this situation. By the way, when we do that, here's what we're doing. We're taking off the armor that we're supposed to put on, and we're laying it aside. And when we take off our armor, we're becoming totally defenseless against our enemy. Folks, we're putting ourselves in some dangerous situations because we feel like we have a better game plan. We're not trusting God. Part of submitting is trusting God. And by the way, God lets us come up with our own plans. All right. You think you know better than me? Have at it. By the way, what normally happens? Our plans usually fails. They do. Why? Because God knows what's best for us, folks. And he knows the importance of the armor that we are to have. The second part of that verse says, in verse number 7, says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And then the other requirement is this: resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We need to resist him. It doesn't say for us to get up on a platform and begin to antagonize Satan, does it? It doesn't say that at all. Because first of all, the thing that we need to do is resist him. We don't want to say, hey, Satan, come on over here, good fella, sit on my lap, and just begin to antagonize him. What are you doing? When that takes place, you're inviting the enemy into your territory. And that's something that we as believers should not be doing. We shouldn't be inviting the enemy into our territory. I'm just being simple with this. And we shouldn't give him any room to antagonize him. We shouldn't even want to egg him on. What we are required to do is to resist him. And by the way, here's an area that we fail in. We give him ammunition to use against us. Well, I know how I can make this believer walk away from God because I know of his weaknesses. Now, he's not all-knowing, but he knows of our weaknesses. And he knows how he can tempt us. He knows how he can connive us to draw us away from God. But as believers, as we're putting on that armor of God to protect us, we need to resist him. James finishes his thought, when we resist Satan, here's what he says at the end of this. He says, he will flee from you. So when we avoid Satan and when we ignore Satan, here's what's going to take place. He's going to flee from us. Plain and simple, he's going to flee from us. The best way for us to avoid him can be done in a couple areas. One is by staying close to God. Don't go near your enemy. Go near to the one who's going to bring you protection. Have you ever noticed children when they know that there's danger in the way? By the way, children, they have good perception on things. Even at their young age, they know what's right and they know what's wrong. And when you see a child and they begin to see danger around them, what's the first thing they do? They go to the ones who are going to protect them. And who's that? That's their mom and dad. They walk away from danger. And they go to the ones who will protect them. They stay close. The second thing that we should do is this. Keep your focus on God. We lose a lot of battles that we are in for this reason. One, we don't stay close. Two, we don't focus on him. We focus upon ourselves. We focus upon the circumstances that we are in. We feel like all is doom and gloom. Why? For this reason. Because we're not focusing on him. And we don't remind Satan of his future. So let's continue to go on here. I want to give you something to really think about here. Go to Isaiah chapter number 59. For those who don't know this, it's in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 59, we're going to read verse number 17 through verse number 19 here. These three verses give us something to consider here. It says, "For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." Here's what we need to consider when it means to put on the armor of God. If you didn't catch it, and if you've never seen this before, God puts on the same armor that he's asking us to put on. Did you see that? He puts on, what's he say? The breastplate of righteousness, and he puts on the helmet of salvation. God, or the Lord, knows the importance of battle gear. And he knows why every believer should be taking that on. God puts on the same armor that he's asking us to put on. He uses the breastplate of righteousness, and he uses the helmet of salvation. What we are seeing him do in Ephesians is this. He is giving us his armor to use. He's not giving us an armor that you just go pick up from the Army surplus store that we have here in town. Those have been used. They have gone through battle. Some of them have. They're not very good anymore. They've had their life. But he's given us his armor. If we were to use, understand this, if we were to use the armor of man, here's what would take place. We would be defeated quickly as we go against Satan. Which is why in the book of Ephesians it says, put on the whole armor of who? God. It doesn't say put on the whole armor of man. It says put on the whole armor of God. Because as we put on the whole armor of God, we will be protected from those attacks. But if we continue to put on our own armor or somebody else's armor, we would see defeat, and then here's what takes place as we go to battle. We'll see many casualties. We see many casualties in the walk of believers because they're choosing to ignore the importance of putting on God's armor, and they're wanting to put on their own armor. And we're failing in those areas. We read this last week, but think about this. The armor of King Saul did not fit the young man David. It didn't fit him. See, some people wanted to give us their armor, and their armor does not fit us. Their armor does not equip us. Matter of fact, as I begin to understand the height of King Saul, he was a very tall man. By the way, it's not very hard to be tall in the land of Israel. When Jeff and I were walking around here a couple weeks ago, we were in Old Town Jerusalem. This is funny. Many Jewish people looking at us, and they're like,
they're tall.
We heard them say that out of their mouths, and people begin to laugh. But you think about that. David was just a young man, probably 15, 16, 17 years of age at this time. He's not going to be able to put on the armor of King Saul because it's not going to fit him. Why he puts that armor on, what's going to take place? The enemy's still going to be able to attack him. They're going to be able to find parts of entrance to kill that young man. And by the way, as we said last week, David couldn't put him on. Why? Because he has yet to prove him. He's yet to prove him. But here's what I want us to understand about the armor of God. And I know I'm taking some time here, but the armor of God, think about this. I love this when I go to clothing stores, especially as I get older now, especially around Christmas time and Thanksgiving time. One size fits all. I like that section. But seriously, the armor of God fits all of us. One size fits all. So what are these pieces of armor? What are these pieces of equipment that we are going to wear? Well, we just read a few of them. It says, verse number 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." These pieces of equipment that we are to wear at times will seem silly to us to put on. It seems silly in this sense because the Word of God says stand. So I'm thinking in my mind, why do I got to put on armor when all I'm required to do is stand? God still wants you to be equipped, does He not? You know, it's just like becoming a believer. Here's what we see a lot of problems with. A lot of people just accept the get out of hell free card. And that's all they're excited about. Hey, I got saved and I'm no longer going to hell. I'm going to heaven. God forgave me my sins. But the most important thing that they can take with them is the Word of God. Which is why you don't see a lot of growth in new believers. Because they're forgetting this armor right here. Well, I'm no longer going to hell. But you still need to know the truth of God's Word. You still need to be educated. Well, as we continue to go on with this, I would agree with this statement here. Normally, but we are under the command of God. And all we are required to do is this: trust and obey. We know that song by heart. And we sing it often in this church. And churches across our country, they sing this song, trust and obey. But those are the two commands that we rarely do. Think about it. We rarely trust God in every situation in our life. And when God speaks to us and tells us to do something, we don't obey. Two simple commands, trust and obey. It's hard for us to realize those things. And that's what God wants us to do. Verse number 14 gives us the first piece of equipment to wear. And that is this. It's used on the loins of the body. Elijah girded up his loins. And by girding up his loins, he probably used what was available to him at that time. It could have been a wreath, but I believe it was probably a piece of a rope. But truth here that is mentioned is important for us to understand. The truth. Why are we to put on truth? For this reason. Let me find my place here. It holds everything together. It's a belt. It holds up your whole armor. If I did not have a belt on this morning, it would be embarrassing for me. There have been times where I've been in a hurry, and I've walked out of my house, I've had my jeans on, and jeans usually shrink a little bit as they're in the dryer, but as the day goes on, they begin to expand. And I know when they begin to expand, because they begin to droop. I forget to put something on at times, and anyway, let's go on here. It holds everything together. Without truth being used as the belt, the armor would fall. It would be meaningless. The belt of truth, that's how I want you to look at it this morning, is important as you put this on. The truth points out the truth of Scripture. And as it points out the truth of Scripture, it begins to expose the lies of Satan. Turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 8. And if I don't get through this morning, I will finish it next week. But the book of John, chapter number 8, verse number 44, says this. This is the Lord speaking. It says, "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it." The truth will point out the truth of Scriptures. It exposes the lies of Satan. And then, as we read in this verse, it gives a clear definition of who Satan is and what his true motives are. Why? Because he is the father of lies. And as we put on that belt of truth, it exposes those things. Back in verse number 32 of this same chapter, Jesus wants us to know the truth. Let's read this. Verse number 32, and he says this, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Jesus wants us to know the truth and what we are up against. Jesus says this, "And ye shall know the truth, and truth will set you free." Jesus is a truth, and because he is the truth, his truth sets us free. That's the first piece of equipment. That's the first piece of armor that we are to put on as we're putting on the whole armor of God. Well, what are some types of truths that we need to understand today? I'll give you a few and then we'll move on quickly. The first truth is this: Jesus died for us. Whatever the world may say about the death of Jesus, the truth is this: because it comes from his word, he died for us. Amen? The second truth that we can understand today is this: because of his death, he will forgive us of our sins if we seek what? Forgiveness. That's another truth. By the way, has that not taken place in your life? Did for me. 25th of April, 1986, I said, "Lord, please forgive me of my sins. Please come and dwell in my heart." You know what he did? He fulfilled two promises that day. Forgave me my sins and instantaneously dwelling in my heart. That's another truth. The third truth is this: he will come back for us someday in what we know as the rapture. That's another truth. By the way, why am I mentioning these things? Because Satan cannot do those things. What does Satan say to Eve? "You can become like gods." Satan's a liar, okay? Satan can't forgive us of our sins. Satan can't offer us eternal life. And Satan's not going to come back for his children. It's not in Scripture. But these are things that Satan tries to lie to us about. And he's very persistent to get his way by deceiving others with lies. By the way, what do we normally do when we know somebody who is an habitual liar? We try to steer clear of them. Why? Because we don't want to be associated with them. Because everything that spews out of their mouth is lie after lie after lie. And that, folks, Satan's no different. He is an habitual liar. Stay clear from him. The second piece of armor that we are to be wearing is this: the breastplate of righteousness. Today we have police officers who put on a bulletproof vest every day they wear their uniform. Why? Because this piece of equipment is important to them. And what a lot of folks don't know about this bulletproof vest that they have is the weight that it weighs. Some will weigh anywhere between 4 to 6, all the way up to 19 pounds. Think about putting that armor on every single day and having a 19-pound vest on your chest. And you might sit there and think, "Man, I would not want to do that every day." I tell you this, if I am a police officer or any type of person that is in a place of protection, I guarantee you this, that's one of the first pieces of equipment that I'm going to put on. Why? Because it's going to protect my vital organs. It's going to protect my heart. They put those on. It might seem inconvenient with all that extra weight. By the way, that's the same thought process that we have when it comes to putting on the whole armor of God. It's just not convenient today. So therefore, because it's so inconvenient and it's not on my timetable, I'm going to choose just to put the Word of God aside today. I'm going to ignore his teachings in my life. I'm going to ignore his battle plan. And I'm going to pursue life the way I see it today. And we're choosing not to put on the whole armor of God because it's inconvenient. They put it on because it protects the vital organs. Proverbs 4, verse number 23. Let's read this. Proverbs chapter 4. Says this, verse number 23, says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to keep our heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. Christ's righteousness, which is, as we put that on, Christ's righteousness does this. It protects us all from Satan's accusations and Satan's charges that he might have against us. First, let's understand this. This righteousness is not made up of good deeds. Okay? That you'll see in Romans chapter 3, verse number 10. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You have heard many times from this pulpit the importance of every child, and I'm talking every child of God, to be guarding their heart. Remember why we guard our heart, because we are at war with him, and folks, he wants to attack this right here, and that is our heart. He wants to make it evil. He wants to make it corrupt so that we don't walk with God. But here's something that takes place. Sometimes we think we are at war with each other. And that is just another way that Satan uses to destroy us. Why am I saying this? Because for weeks we've been talking about unity. For weeks we're talking about how important for a family of God to be united together. And Satan wants to come in and disunify this church. And he will do that by putting us at war with one another. We're not at war with him, with each other. We shouldn't be. But we take that route. Again, understand, not only is unity needed in the church, but folks, it's needed in the homes as well. Amen? I'm going to end right there. I've seen the time, and I know some folks need to do some things. They need a little bit of extra time, but I'm going to pick it up next week. Where we're leaving off, and I hope with what we've learned this morning has been very educational to you, and I hope that we can apply this as we go through our life this week. Again, before I close, the Bible doesn't say just put on one piece of equipment. It says put on the whole armor of God, his armor that he wears himself. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, I pray that as this next hour comes, that you would give pastors strength, wisdom, and boldness from the pulpit. We pray for the ones that will be coming in for the next hour. God, we pray that if someone's walking through these doors that hasn't accepted you as Lord and Savior, we pray that the Holy Spirit would do the convicting so they come to the saving knowledge of you. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.